Welcome to the Free Range Preacher on Prayer Podcast. Richard here, your favorite announcer, hearkening you to season 6 of the podcast. Fred, your principal reminder, asked me to remind you of a most pressing result of prayer. So to converse with God, Him who we daily design to glorify and serve, and whom we expect daily in some measure to enjoy, and fully and finally, ere it is long, is certainly throughout a way of pleasantness and peace. John Howe, A Treatise of Delighting in God, and Tongue and Pen and Wit, cannot express my joy. Samuel Rutherford. The joy, peace, and comfort, in short, the abundant life which sustains the soul of the children of God, is developed through daily conversation with Holy God. Let's join with Fred now as he reminds us to pray, pray, and pray.
Welcome to the Free Range Preacher on Prayer Podcast. Richard has already told you that. My name is Fred. I believe he's told you that as well. I am the podcast principal, and we are back in the paddock. Again, that's what I call my booth, after the F1 place where people gather. And I'm excited once again to be here and to talk over the subject of prayer, our relationship with a God. The God who created us, and the God who loves us, and the God who redeemed us from our sins. During a conversation in a Bible study, a men's study, about a couple weeks ago now, and then listening again to our signature episode, I did want to cycle back just a little bit on prayer and the growth of our prayer, and look again a little more slowly, maybe a little more thoroughly, about the fact that prayer always starts out after our initial emotion of getting saved, typically. It becomes a discipline. And then over time, it does become our delight, but it does take discipline and time to get there. Like I said, we have talked about that, but I want to do that a little more slowly and deliberately. And we're going to get that to there in just a bit. You may have noticed and may not if you're new to us or if you never noticed before, we have a donation link, and I moved it to the end of the podcast description section instead of at the beginning. I did want to remind you that it's there. There are reasons that I moved it down there, and the first and foremost is this is something I'm able to do. I believe I was called to. You may or may not have heard that before, but I'm able to do that without charge. And without any even thought of that, we do have our goals with our prayer journals, and that's basically what the donations are about, and our continual needs as far as keeping things running. But that all takes a back seat to what my real desire is, and that, of course, is to talk about prayer and encourage and exhort anyone I can in our prayer lives. So that donation page, just as a reminder, that donation link is there, but please use it only as the Lord leads. I also want to acknowledge we've started doing this, the places where we are heard around the world. Recently, within the past 3 months or so, Japan, you've joined us. You've joined our family. Sierra Leone, you've joined the family, and Hungary as well. And it's exciting. Welcome. All you who have come from those places, thank you for listening. It's exciting to my soul to see you. And in fact, Japan has made several jumps up since you started with us, so thank you for that. I did want to acknowledge, too, we've had several anonymous donors that just have sent me money. And so thank you for that as well. And then I wanted to mention, too, we haven't talked about this either, but it's interesting to me. I don't get raw numbers, but I do get a breakdown of the age groups of who's listening. And the bulk of all you guys out there are older, my age, and a little bit younger. And so we appreciate that. But it's interesting that there is an under 17 category. And it's not like huge numbers, but it is steady. And that's kind of amazing. So we do have an audience of people under 17 who listen. Thank you for listening. And then from 28 to 34 and 18 to 22, you guys are a good consistent group as well. So I thank you, and I thank you for being there. And things fluctuate from time to time, but I really do appreciate everyone in, no matter how old you are, listening. And again, our goal is to encourage one another to prayer. So you can contact us. Those contact links are also at the bottom of the description. Now, we want to get back to the discipline of prayer. And I've made the statement that when we get serious about prayer, it starts out as a discipline and then turns to the most precious time of our day. We'll talk about that a little bit too, I think, the next time. But as in any new skill, when we are working on it in the early days, it's a discipline. Whether it's a sport that we love and we want to play, there's hard work involved. And we have to work, even in our hobbies and things, we have to work to make those new things habits. And part of that process does include learning and refining, even in our prayer craft, as we are building our discipline, our consistency in prayer. We are constantly learning and constantly refining. And that's pretty incredible, but it does sometimes get in the way, and sometimes we get discouraged and we drop the ball, as we say here in my culture. And we may mention before that prayer is natural to the saved soul. I think it was Matthew Henry that said, when we get saved, our souls cry out as newborn babies. We cry to the Father as newborn babies cry out to their parents. And that is true, but there comes a time for us when that initial emotion fades a little bit. Prayer becomes more of a discipline, and it's an important discipline, and we'll talk about that too in the time to come. But you might be asking, if prayer is so natural, why is it a discipline? Why does it start out as a discipline? And that's a very good question, and it is natural, and it's sort of like learning a new language. You might move to a new country, and you might know you're going to stay there for a while. And if they don't speak your native tongue, you have to learn how to communicate. You're going to be there. You need to learn how to communicate. So it's a new skill and a new language. And just the desire to communicate isn't the fulfillment of communication. And in fact, I'd never thought about this before until today, but when we learn a new language, it requires a change in our thinking. Language is the art of expressing our thoughts. Whether they come from our hearts or our minds or our souls, we are expressing through language what our mind, what we are thinking. And learning a new language is difficult, as in any other skill. And we've discussed before some other issues, and we'll talk about a couple of them in the next few episodes as well, or in the upcoming episodes. But they expose these issues, expose our weaknesses, and as individuals and collectively as human beings and as Christians. As born-again Christians, we have our new inner man. The first and most prevalent cause of our trouble is our flesh. Jesus tells us we know that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And in prayer, at least in part, our new inner man desires God, and our flesh desires ease and to be left alone. We realize just how kind of a silly question that is. Why is prayer difficult as far as a discipline is concerned? Because we know where we have a choice, and I know not everyone who listens has a choice, but where we have a choice, eating the right things, we know them. They're hard to do. Exercise, when we have a choice, when we're not working at hard labor, exercise we know is good for us. We feel better. But relaxing is not only the easiest route, but it's also the most deceitful. I learned many years ago that energy begets energy. And sometimes we say, this is the deceitful part. If I just stop and rest, then I will feel better and I can get up and do stuff. But it doesn't work that way. Sometimes we need the rest, but sometimes we need to start. We need to go out for a walk, or we need to become active, and then we have more energy to do more things. And it's the same in the discipline of prayer. As we learn and as we discipline ourselves, it encourages more prayer. It encourages talking to the Father on a more consistent basis. And the key, as far as discipline concerns, at least it seems to me, that whether we are praying because we are emotional and we need to express ourselves to God, or whether we are praying because it's a command. Remember early on in my testimony, it wasn't until I was rebuked that prayer was something God expected me to do before I started getting serious about praying. So whatever the reason, though, we need to be in that discipline of prayer. But even when we say it's a command, it's something I have to do, and it took me a lot of years to learn this. It is a loving command and not a legal one. And what I mean by that is, God is not in heaven making marks of every time that we miss our intended prayer time, or days that we don't talk to Him. He's not up there holding it against us and saying, boy, the next time we get together, I'm going to be angry with Fred because he missed all these days. That's the legalistic part of it. Or if we don't pray, or if we struggle in prayer, does that mean we're not a Christian? It's not legalistic, it's loving. He is constantly calling us, come to me, all you who are weary. I will give you rest. He wants us to come and talk to Him. And in the end, we make our own difficulties when we ignore His call to communion. And we've talked about the blessings of that before, and we will talk about those things again. The first step in overcoming our flesh in that area is, number one, giving into our inner man, giving into reading the Word, and making a willful decision of obedience to the God who loves us and the God who saved us, to begin a consistent conversation with Him. That's the first step we need to decide, to determine we are going to obey. And once we're committed to that communion, we understand that the pressure's off. God has full capacity at any time, any place, over anything to hear us. We're not interrupting Him. I don't know how He does that. Well, because He's God. But I don't know how that works. I just know that millions of people praying all at the same time doesn't interfere with Him. He listens and He hears and He acts for each of us. We know that by faith, don't we? And by experience. So He's waiting. The pressure's off. It's not legal. He's not standing there like a headmaster in a school or a jailer who's taken us from place to place. He loves us and wants us to communicate with Him. He delights, as a way of reminder and something we will see here in a minute or two, He delights in our conversation, as amazing as that sounds. Our so what for today, then, is to make that determination to pray. Let God lead us and to grow us in our prayer lives. He knows how to do that. He will do that. We just need to commit to draw near to Him in love and talk. On a consistent basis, daily is my recommendation. It can be short or long, and even if it's sporadically, make that commitment to work on a consistent prayer life. That's the first step. We try not to be sporadic for too long. I think that's the wrong way to use that word, but there it is. So we don't want to go with long stretches, but even then, He is waiting to hear us. But making that commitment in learning the art of prayer, developing our art of prayer, our love of God, that's our first goal. That's our so what. And again, I mentioned this. We know from Proverbs 15:8, the sacrifices of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is His delight. He does delight when you talk to Him and even complain to Him. We've seen that in the past as well. To that, I wanted to add something from Psalm 63, because our goal is our communion, our relationship with Him, and our inner man cries out, sort of like David, Thus I have beheld thee in the sanctuary, to see thy power and of thy glory, because of thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips will praise thee, so I will bless thee as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul is satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth offers praises with joyful lips. When I remember thee on my bed, I meditate on thee in the night watches. It doesn't even take that long for that discipline to start producing that sort of fruit. And that's our goal. Again, not a legalistic thing, but a loving command that we come and talk to him. And then again, our verse, probably the verse of this whole podcast, and this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And that's in John 17:3. Prayerfully, you have heard that before from us. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for today. I do bless you, and I thank you for your goodness to us. I thank you that we can come together. We can purposely turn on this podcast, and we are gathering with you and with everyone around the world who listens. And we want you to talk to us. We expect you to talk to us. Help us, Holy God, to listen carefully, to listen for your voice, and to pick out something today from this episode that encourages our heart or convicts us to further obedience. Help us in that obedience to respond, not out of legalism, Holy God, not out of fear that you are going to punish us because we don't come and talk to you, but out of love and out of a desire to grow closer to you and to know you, as Jesus tells us in John 17, to know you more and more. Give us the joy of knowing we have heard from your word today. We have heard from you today. Move us to glorify you in everything we do, in everything we say, and in everything we think. Help us, Holy God, to talk to you, to commune with you truly from our hearts. We pray it in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you again for listening. Even though we're plowing some ground that we have plowed before, I really do appreciate it. And we are commended, brethren, to the God, no matter how much we have run from him at times, when we decide to go back to him, he is waiting like the prodigal father at the gate. And the son had this rehearsed thing he was going to say. But the Bible says, while he was still a long way off, that's the son walking towards the father, his father, your heavenly father, our heavenly father. He sees us. He knows our hearts. And he feels compassion. That's what the Bible says. He felt compassion for his wayward son. And he ran and embraced him and kissed him. Father's just waiting for us. That's the Father we are commended to. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that that is true. Brethren, let's pray for one another and our strength and our devotion to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Thank you once again for listening.